A reading from Acts, chapter 9. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus. And immediately, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So there he is, on the way to do the things he thinks he needs to do to be on God's side. Saul is ready to take the stand that these followers of Jesus are polluting the faith he was raised in. And he's not okay with that. He wants to round them up, lock them up, and throw away the key. Why? Not because he's just naturally evil. Not because he's trying to grab power for himself. Not for any of the reasons we might want to attribute to the enemies of Jesus. No, Saul is doing what he's doing for his faith, for his understanding of who God is and what it means to follow God. Then God stops Saul in his tracks. It isn't a sermon by Peter that convinces him or the perfect early church that converts Saul into Paul. It is Jesus intervening, converting this man to be the man he needs to be. And who is it that Saul needs to be? A defender of the faith that looks at Christ as God, rather than one who speaks against Jesus. A man who stands up and says, I'm called to proclaim Christ. No matter how crazy that might sound to my old friends and colleagues, it's me. And I am the one who has to walk forward telling everybody I meet, Jesus was the one that turned my life around. Jesus was the one who sent someone to open my eyes. Try to imagine the biggest faith attackers of our day getting called by Jesus to walk in faith in him. There was a list of 50 famous atheists that I saw. There are so many people now who see faith as the reason for the problems of the world, who see religious people as not just naive, but dangerous, believing that we cause the spread of hate wherever we go. What would it be if that person experienced a call to serve Christ, received the Spirit of Christ, and found transformation, giving up, believing that they were on the right side of history, finding themselves vulnerable and blind, knowing that the call has come about into their life to turn their world upside down? That's the story we're reading today. Jesus came into just such a life and turned it around. Many years ago now, I was on a young adult trip to Europe with a group from my church. And we got into an argument one night about one of the hot issues of the day. And in the argument, there were people saying, well, if you believe that, you are not a Christian. And on the other side of the argument were people saying, if you believe that, you are not a Christian. It was this really painful moment. And then one of the older folks on the trip said, it's not about us, y'all. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. If you think that Jesus only sees things in black and white, that everyone has to think the same exact thing to believe in him, if you think that's who Jesus is, I'm pretty sure you've missed the point altogether. I'm pretty sure right here and right now, we are all in need of conversion to who Jesus really is. Who is Jesus? This Jesus we choose to follow. He calls us out of our confidence in our own rightness and tells us we need to open our eyes to see him, meeting us on the road. We need to open our eyes to see him listening and caring about people no one thought anyone should care about. We need to open our eyes to see him seeing the woman who lived her life in disgrace and offering her water that will keep her from ever being thirsty again. We need to see him washing the feet of his disciples. We need to see him eating dinner with the person who stole someone else's money. We need to see him healing the blind man that everyone else thought had been a sinner from birth. That's who Jesus is. Jesus found Saul, this person, this persecutor, the strongest-willed enemy he could find, and that's who he appeared to? To invite him to go to work for him. To spread the gospel farther than anyone else could imagine taking it. This man, Saul, who became Paul, he was the one who could do it because he was the one in whom changed life was so obvious. Sometimes conversions are portrayed as the end of the story, the deathbed repentance scene in a movie, the person who finds his way to new life and then spends the rest of his life trying to hang on by the fingernails. But for Saul, Paul, conversion was only the beginning. Now, instead of dragging people to jail, Paul was the one to help people find new life. Find it in Jesus. Find it through Jesus. He was called to travel and to speak and to share the gospel far and wide. converted to a new vocation, and he never seemed to look back. He was Paul. The change was forever. Have you ever seen a conversion? I mean, a real life, I am a new person, tomorrow will not look like yesterday. Not because I got so good at walking in the world, but because Jesus woke me up right in the middle of my life. That kind of conversion. A few times I've had the chance to see a conversion like that when it was happening. When somebody, it was as if the lights went on, internally, eternally, a sense that they were filled with fire and hope and peace in a brand new way. More times, I've seen conversion lived out the way it was lived out in Paul's life. Like the mother of eight who got in her car and drove across the country because her kids were not safe. And she suddenly heard Jesus say, "Go, get in the car and drive." And then she stopped and she looked for a church to help her go, to help her find a job, to help her find a life, convinced every step of the way that she had gone at the call of Jesus, changed her life because Jesus told her it was time to go. Or the man who'd been raised to believe saying, "I love you," were words of weakness. And then the child was placed in his arms, the new baby, and all he could do was say, "I love you. You are my child. You are God's child. I love you." Life was never the same. Because now he was a dad who had been called to be a dad by God. Jesus wants to open our eyes. Jesus wants to come into our lives, to the broken places, to all the places. May we be open to see him, to look for him, to listen to him, to follow him, and to serve him now and forever. Amen.